Coca-Cola right now with Chris and Austin starts now.
Do it now.
Now on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Okay, 512, News Radio 92.3, Pensacola right now. Chris Bryan, Austin Price. I failed to mention this, 5:35 this afternoon. Patty Burke from the Gulf Coast Patriots will be stopping in. We'll be talking about Dr. Ryan Cole, who's been a part of these medical freedom rallies and has quite a story. We'll be talking about Dr. Cole and a lot more about the politics of the area. So Patty Burke will be in at 5:35 on News Radio 92.3. But first, let's go ahead and take a look at three important things you need to know about this afternoon.
Number one.
Okay, local senior meal program has been slashed. Council on Aging of West Florida's meal program is losing another day of food. The program provides free hot lunches to hundreds of Escambia and Santa Rosa County residents Monday through Thursday. Now, we'll soon only offer meals on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Council on Aging officials attributed the July challenges to funding levels not keeping pace with demand.
Number two.
And then there were four. Town of Century officials on Thursday interviewed four applicants to be their next city administrator. The council also dissolved a selection committee, which allows Mayor Ben Boutwell to speak with each member of the town council individually about their applicant choices. Boutwell is expected to make his recommendation at the regular council meeting this upcoming Tuesday.
Number three.
A story catching a lot of folks by surprise. Tim Casella has resigned as Pensacola city manager after only 11 months into that job. Kinsella confirms he's taken advantage of an undisclosed opportunity and would be leaving the city effective September 3rd. Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves hired Kinsella to be the administrator back in September 2024. Now, Reeves said he was grateful for Kinsella's impact on the city of Pensacola and grateful for his friendship. Now, Kinsella's leadership also brought shakeups to the city government. Five senior-level city officials resigned from the city during Kinsella's tenure, including former Pensacola Police Chief Eric Randall.
All righty, just about 5:15 here. We'll get our first quick check of the roads and weather. This traffic and weather update brought to you by Executive Landscaping. You can call them today for all of your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Let's see, looking at the roads here, not too much going on. We do have some backups on Pine Forest Road, traveling northbound towards 9 Mile, and maybe a little bit on I-10 if you're traveling westbound passing the I-110 north ramp. But outside of that, there's not much. As for your weather, 92 degrees, have a heat advisory in effect until 7 o'clock tonight. This evening's low going to be 77. We're going to see highs sitting at around 93 to 94 throughout your weekend, with around a 40% chance of rainfall on both days, but that should not culminate in much.
Here's your top local stories this hour.
516 News Radio 92.3, Santa Rosa County agreeing to donate two parcels of land to the Northwest Florida Community Land Trust and work with Pensacola Habitat for Humanity to provide affordable housing at both of those sites. One property is located on Congress Street in the Midway Gulf Breeze area. The second property is a four-acre parcel located on Buddy Hardy Road. This is near Milton.
Alrighty, and former reality TV star Todd Chrisley back in Pensacola today, and even back at the federal prison camp Pensacola at NAS Softly Field. He was speaking to graduates of the facility's residential drug abuse program. Chrisley said his goal was to uplift the men he was speaking to and give them credit for the sacrifices that they've made. Chrisley was an inmate at the facility not that long ago. He served 2 years in the facility before being released last year following a pardon from President Trump.
Here's your top state stories this hour.
Okay, half a dozen Florida prison guards are accused of beating a handcuffed inmate, lying about his injuries. Carmen Roberts has the details.
Two more people were arrested and charged in July, according to a report that Florida's attorney general is required to file after defying the ruling from a federal judge. Both men were arrested in Sarasota County and charged in separate incidents of driving without a valid driver's license and offenses related to driving under the influence of alcohol. The illegal entry charges against them were dismissed. In a separate court filing, immigrants' rights advocates who filed the suit questioned whether state officials are using the blocked law to justify holding detainees at the detention facility in the Everglades the administration calls Alligator Alcatraz. Lisa LaSera, Fox News.
Records show at least six Florida Department of Corrections officers were arrested on charges ranging from battery on a detainee to perjury and evidence tampering. Officials claim six of the officers beat an inmate at the Dade Correctional Institute in April and that another officer failed to report the use of force. Court documents explain that officers summoned detainee Christopher Castro to an area away from surveillance cameras, took him to a holding cell, and attacked him when he resisted. No word, though, on what prompted the attack. Carmen Roberts, Fox News.
And we got good news or bad news, depending on where you stand. Playboy has plans to call Florida home. The company announced Wednesday it's moving its global headquarters from California to Miami Beach. The company will also build a Playboy club with a restaurant and a members-only area. Playboy Incorporated CEO Ben Cohn says that Miami Beach is the ideal home for Playboy's next chapter, and he adds that the city provides the perfect environment for Playboy's vision to create world-class content and experiences that resonate globally.
I only read the stories.
Yeah, I'm just there for the interviews, man. Right.
518, News Radio 92.3. Florida Governor DeSantis about 2 weeks away from opening another detention center for alleged illegal immigrants. It'll be called Deportation Depot and will hold up to 1,300 people. Here's Lieutenant Governor, brand new Lieutenant Governor of Florida, Jay Collins, saying the facility, like Alligator Alcatraz, is safe to house those detainees.
I stayed in far worse places as a member of our armed services multiple times. I've seen Alligator Alcatraz. The beds are clean, it's air conditioned, the food is great, the staff is trained, and people are treated with dignity and respect. It'll be the same way here.
All righty. I wanted to get you some more details on this. Baker County could be home to the state's next immigrant detention facility. Governor Ron DeSantis announcing yesterday he plans to open the facility in Sanderson and calling it Deportation Depot, holding about 1,300 people. DeSantis hopes it'll open in a few weeks, and he says this is about securing the border, enforcing immigration laws, removing illegal aliens from our society, and sending them back to their home country. 519 here. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to Pensacola right now. We'll be back in just a few minutes with some of your hardest-hitting national headlines for you right here on News Radio 92.3.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Are you facing a trial right now in your life? Let me urge you to read James chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. In that passage, you'll read four essential things that will help anyone facing a trial. And they all start with the letter G. First, you'll see God's goal in allowing the trial in your life. Second, you'll find the thing that God wants you to get or be in pursuit of that will help you through the trial. Thirdly, you'll find grace to handle the trial. And fourthly, you'll read about a heavenly gift that is described in verse number 12. I don't know the details of your specific trial, but I do know that God wants to comfort you, and the way He does that is primarily through His Word. So read James chapter 1 and reflect on the goodness of God. You'll be glad that you did.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Join Dawn and Dr. Bull from Ashnu Navant Health 65 Plus of a Pensacola Expert Panel Tuesday at 10 a.m. The topic of discussion is preventative needs for the 65 Plus. You'll be answering questions and texts about how Ashnu Navant Health 65 Plus can help you, who they are, and where they're located. That's Tuesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Papi, walking around our block is like walking around the world.
How do you mean?
My friend Kayla's from India, Lily's from China, and Beza's from Ethiopia.
We're lucky we live in a diverse community where people from different backgrounds live in the same neighborhood.
I like it.
To learn more about how the Fair Housing Act promotes diversity, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. The Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination on the basis of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, and familial status. A message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Okay, so it's going to be about $1,200.
Wait, did you even figure out what was wrong?
Well, my guy said something about the flux capacitor. Oh, and we had some extra parts.
Extra parts? So. That's a no for me.
Don't settle for vague answers and mystery charges. Head to Garage 850 on Sun Valley Drive just off Michigan Avenue. Rusty and his ASE-certified crew actually explain what's going on and get it done right. Specials online now at garage850.com.
Hey, Andrew McKay here. You know, a couple of years ago, we started doing something with the Pensacola Morning News that until that point we had not done at all, which is to podcast the entire episodes. Now, we've always put podcasts up of the interviews or of particularly interesting segments, but for several years, we have podcast the full show, so you can go and listen to it at your leisure. If you, you know, listen to us at 6 o'clock normally, you can go back and listen to the 5 o'clock hour, or, as some people have told me they do, you can even re-listen to things just to catch stuff you might have missed. In any case, all the podcasts are available at newsradio923.com.
Summer season is here, and Florida summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Blue Sky Landscaping and Pensacola Hardware.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Here's Chris and Austin for Pensacola Right Now on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Here's your top national stories this hour.
523, News Radio 92.3. Americans were buying more cars in July, and that helped boost retail sales and those numbers. Here's Jenny Casola.
Is holding up for cars and other purchases. Retail sales rose 0.5% in July, up 0.3% excluding autos. For the year ending in July, retail sales increased 3.9%. The numbers are encouraging and show signs of resilience since shoppers have pulled back on buying discretionary things. Spending was down in April and May, but jumped 0.9% in June. The month included the summer Amazon Prime Day event, which was held over a four-day period this year. Online retailers saw an 0.8% increase in July. Jenny Cosola, Fox News.
All right, it is 524, News Radio 92.3. Dow hitting highs and hitting lows today. Kind of a mixed bag of numbers for you. Here's Laura Kantner with more.
Stocks ending Friday on a mixed note. The Dow Jones falling short of its first record close in 2025. The Dow finishing up 35, S&P 500 down 19, NASDAQ down 88. United Health stock surging Friday, its best day since 2008. Berkshire Hathaway purchasing 5 million shares of the insurance giant. Open Doors stock jumped Friday as its CEO is stepping down. Chip stocks fell Friday after President Trump said he would set tariffs on semiconductor imports as soon as next week. NVIDIA, AMD, and Broadcom dropping more than 1%, while Micron fell more than 3%. Laura Cantor, Fox News.
525 News Radio 92.3. Austin Price in, looking at the weather and local traffic together this afternoon.
Alrighty, this traffic and weather update brought to you by Unbound.org. A girl in Kenya dreams of becoming a doctor, and an elder in Guatemala dreams of being part of a community. Reach out and change their world, and it will change your own at Unbound.org. Let's see, looking at the roads here, we do have some backups on Pine Forest Road, and if you're traveling northbound towards 9 Mile, and a little bit on I-10, traveling westbound, passing the I-110 north ramp. Outside of that, there's not much holding you up. As for the weather, 92 degrees tonight, a low of 77, and then as we get into your weekend, highs are going to be sitting around 93, 94 with some rainfall chances, but they shouldn't result in anything too severe.
Okay, 526 News Radio 92.3. Today, of course, is the News Radio 92.3 Cat Country 98.7 Children's Radiothon over at the Ascension Sacred Heart Hospital. And over there live today, News Radio's very own Kevin King checking in. What's going on, Kevin?
Thanks, guys. The Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon continues, our sister station. Daniel Sowers is with me now, the president of Gulfwinds, and you guys have been integral with this. Well, tell me about your involvement.
Yeah, so Gulfwinds Credit Union, we've been involved with this radiothon since 2014, mm-hmm. and over that time period, we've given over $104,000. Today, given an additional $20,000, and our employees have personally donated $100,000 themselves out of their own personal funds.
How do they do that? What are some of the ways that they raise the money?
Yeah, so what we do is we have a jeans program.
Yeah,
and so they donate money to wear jeans to work, and then we match the money. through one of our foundations.
Who sets the number for to be able to wear jeans?
it really over time it just adds up. Uh-huh. Like everybody's excited to wear jeans on a Friday or something like that, and so it doesn't cost that much money, but over time it just adds up because every payroll it takes a little bit out. And over 90% of our employees participated. It's totally optional.
And 90% participating here today.
That's right. That's right. And today we've got a crew that's on the phones taking money, and because we're passionate about this, we love our community and we want to be part of it.
Well, Daniel, thank you for what your company does, Gulf Winds. You're such a great part. You're great neighbors for our community, and we appreciate you.
Well, we're glad to be here. Thanks for doing this, and we'll be here next year.
All right. Thank you so much, Daniel. Right, we appreciate you.
Thanks, sir.
This is Kevin, News Radio 92.3 at the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon.
All right, Kevin, listen, and if you want to donate, please help them out. Here's that number to call, 850-416-KIDS. If you can't remember the number, text us. We'll be happy to give that to you. 850-437-1620. Chris Bryan, Austin Price in. Well, Tropical Storm Aaron is now a hurricane. Well, let's call it officially Hurricane Aaron. Evan Brown has more from Miami.
The National Hurricane Center now says Aaron is the year's first Atlantic hurricane. The storm's maximum sustained winds are clocked at 75 miles an hour, making it Category 1. The center of Aaron is still more than 450 miles east of the Leeward Islands. Its forecast track continues to show a more northward pull as it travels west, making it appear to steer clear of the U.S. southeast coast while passing north of Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. But Aaron should continue to strengthen and by tomorrow night reach major hurricane status. In Miami, Eben Brown, Fox News.
And the war in Ukraine is not pausing during the Trump-Putin summit, with new Russian attacks being reported. The three-year-old war has killed tens of thousands of people. The exact number of troops killed is not clear, but the U.S. estimates 250,000 Russian military deaths, and a widely publicized report puts Ukrainian troop losses at 80,000. The U.N. estimates nearly 14,000 civilian deaths in Ukraine.
All right, Loudoun County, Virginia, sticking to its guns, allowing children to use those bathrooms and locker rooms with the gender they identify with. So this is being a very contentious situation. The risk of losing nearly $50 million in federal funding is kind of the carrot being held in front of them right now.
Wow.
Here's Mike Emanuel.
Video was shot by a female student identifying as a boy in a Loudoun County school locker room. There was an awkward reaction when boys realized a biological girl was there. Since then, the school board voted to challenge the federal government on this issue. Quote, after consultation with legal counsel, the board voted 6-3 not to comply with this request due to the tension between the OCR position and current law. A complaint was filed with the Education Department by America First Legal. Loudoun County School Board member Deanna Griffiths is critical of her colleagues. Quote, our children should not be caught in political battles. LCPS should be focused on teaching, not ideology.
Okay, very interesting data. Patty Burke, she's, of course, with the Gulf Coast Patriots, will be stopping in about 4 or 5 minutes. We'll talk about Dr. Ryan Cole from Medical Freedom Rallies. You might remember him. So stay around for that. Coming up in five, we'll take a look at some headline news on News Radio 92.3.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Jill Nato. Behind closed doors, President Trump's been meeting with Russia's Vladimir Putin, the two men holding a news conference soon. Fox's Jared Halpern watched Trump and Putin as they landed in Alaska for their summit.
A military flyover featuring a B-2 bomber made up part of the welcoming crew as President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin greeted each other on the tarmac of Elmendor Air Force Base. President Trump says he still thinks peace in Ukraine is possible. The president believes economic pressure brought Putin to the table.
The talks reported to have wrapped up after about 2.5 hours. Meanwhile, his former rival Hillary Clinton told the Raging Moderates podcast she would nominate Trump for a Nobel Peace Prize if Russia agrees to a ceasefire. America's listening to Fox News.
Sportsman's Night Out is back, and it's bigger than ever. This year, it's a new date and more giveaways than ever before. You could win a brand new camper, a four-wheeler, a side-by-side, hunting trips, fishing gear, and even a brand new car. It all goes down September 11th at the Pensacola Bay Center. Tickets? Just $10. But don't wait. They will sell out. Grab yours now at sportsmansnightout.com. Sportsman's Night Out, September 11th. Presented by Carpenter's Campers, Parrish Tractor, Penton's Auto Trim, Sandy Sansing Automotive, and Marcus Point Baptist Church.
You may think that when you file an insurance claim, the insurance company will do what they're supposed to do and pay out the claim. But insurance companies don't provide manuals to get fair insurance claim settlements. That's where Claimology steps in, giving you a voice when you've suffered property damage or business loss. Don't get lost when filing a claim. Contact Claimology, 888-774-7557 or Claimology.com. Claimology, now, the art and science of application of fair insurance claim settlements.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Pensacola. News Radio 92.3 wants to know what you think about our programming. Join the Listener Advisory Board and fill out our quick survey. Your feedback helps us shape the shows you love and discover new ones. Whether it's news, talk, sports, or other programming, we want to hear your suggestions and ideas. It takes just a few minutes, and it makes a big difference. Visit newsradio923.com today to fill out the survey. Let's make your listening experience even better. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Pensacola right now.
This is Pensacola right now on News Radio 92.3. Now, here's today's top three local trending stories. Number one.
Well, a local senior meal program has been slashed. Council on Aging of West Florida's meal program is losing another day of food. The program provides free hot lunches to hundreds of Escambia and Santa Rosa County residents Monday through Thursday, but it'll soon only offer meals on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Council on Aging officials attributed the July challenges to funding levels not keeping pace with demands.
Number two.
And then there were four Town of Century officials on Thursday interviewed four applicants to be their next city administrator. Council also dissolved the selection committee, which allows Mayor Ben Bowell to speak with each member of the town council individually about their application choices. He's got to be real careful with sunshine laws there. Bowell is experienced and expected to make his recommendations at the regular council meeting. That should happen on Tuesday.
Number three.
And Tim Kinsella has resigned as Pensacola city manager after only 11 months into the gig. Kinsella confirms he's taking advantage of an undisclosed opportunity and would be leaving the city effective September 3rd. Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves hired Kinsella to be the administrator in September of last year and said he was grateful for Kinsella's impact on the city of Pensacola and grateful for his friendship.
Okay, 535 News Radio 92.3. As mentioned to you just a minute ago, Patty Burke with the Gulf Coast Patriots joining us this afternoon. Patty, how are you today?
I am well, Chris. Good to hear from you.
Boy, what a day this has been on the news cycle. We're holding our breath right now because we're waiting to jump in with President Trump and Putin there at their summit in Alaska, and something's gone on, and we're waiting to bust in as soon as that happens. But right now, you've got an incredible guest coming to town, Dr. Ryan Cole. He'll be in town on Monday. A little bit about Dr. Cole's past. He's an advisor to HHS Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr., and he's going to be in town. How in the world does this come about, and why is he in town?
Well, Chris, I have to correct you. He's coming to us via Zoom.
Oh, good. Okay, thank you.
He's actually going to be at a conference in Canada, a three-day conference, and I'm so grateful that he cut out a portion of his time because he's not speaking at that particular time at 6 p.m. Central Time, so he's going to spend some time with us via Zoom. And we met 4 years ago when he came to town for a medical freedom rally that was put on by a bunch of heroic local physicians here when COVID was really a major problem.
Patty, was this was this the meeting that was held over in the stadium?
That's correct.
Okay, I was there. So okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, Ryan is Dr. Cole, I should say, is a pathologist, and so he ran an independent lab. He employed 80 people in Boise, Idaho.
Right.
And he's been in the Air Force. He went to school, medical school in Virginia. He spent his residency at Mayo Clinic. So he's got contacts far and wide. And as a result of those contacts and having an independent lab, which is quite different from when you're in a corporation or a hospital environment, where it seems like sometimes you have to put blinders on and you have to stay between the lanes.
Sure.
A lot of people would reach out to him to send him specimens to test. And so he was on the leading edge of what was going on with COVID. And of course, the other part of it was well known by some physicians that there were very effective treatments available before the government decided they were going to give emergency use authorization to the COVID vaccines.
Yeah, I think primarily he gained most of his fame for that situation about COVID-19. He really
absolutely. And of course, what put him on the map is that if you Google his name, you're going to find that the state of Washington tried to take away his license. Mm-hmm. The state of Idaho gave him a lot of trouble. But in fact, what was happening is Dr. Cole was keeping people out of the hospital and keeping them from dying.
Absolutely. And I did some background work on this. Idaho, kind of ended that legal interpretation back in April of this year, I believe it was.
Right. They have been on the leading edge for medical freedom.
Right. How did Dr. Cole end up getting association with Robert Kennedy Jr.?
Well, that happened pretty early on. I'm not certain if they knew each other before Kennedy was running for president or before the COVID pandemic. But I do know that Dr. Cole was invited by Dr. Ben Carson to go to Capitol Hill and talk to MDs and doctors of medical dentistry to talk to them about what was available, what treatments were available for COVID. So it's possible that they came across or ran across each other at that time. I know that Dr. Cole, he's open-minded when it comes to political candidates. And of course, Bobby Kennedy Jr. was very outspoken about COVID, about the treatments, and about vaccines in general.
Right.
So I don't know who reached out to who, but I'm going to guess that Kennedy reached out to Cole because Cole's got the medical knowledge.
Listen,
that he could draw from.
If he had anything to do in working with Dr. Ben Carson, I'm all on board there. I think Dr. Carson is amazing in terms of his medical background.
And that particular trip to Capitol Hill, Dr. Carson had discovered one of the many antivirals. And I don't remember the name of it. I believe it starts with a FL. But anyway, he was trying to convince the legislators that there are effective treatments available. And of course, once the EUA was given, then those antivirals like ivermectin, like hydroxychloroquine and others, the AMA, the NIH, the FDA, even the pharmaceutical group were saying, you may not fill these prescriptions. And if you are, we need to make sure that you're deworming someone. So it got to be a huge fight. And in fact, it's still a problem.
Absolutely. We're speaking to Patty Burke, by the way, President, Gulf Coast Patriots. Patty, you got that event coming up Monday, 6 p.m. How can people be involved, and what would you like for them? How do they access this
video? I would love for them to contact me via email at Patty, P-A-T-T-Y, Burke, B-U-R-K-E, 5@gmail.com, and I'll give them more information. Okay. It's at 6 p.m. in Gulf Breeze. It is a public meeting, but we've had some issues in the past that I just would prefer people to email me to get more information.
I totally understand. I can read between the lines on this one. So, Patty Burke, stay out there, and good fight for you. And Dr. Cole is definitely going to be quite an evening on Monday at 6 p.m.
Thank you, Chris. I also want to plug our Santa Rosa County Republicans are hosting an event at the fairgrounds on Saturday, and our guest is Congressman Byron Donalds, who is a candidate for governor for
Florida.
He's
great. He is another good one. So, yeah.
Yes,
this is
absolutely.
11 o'clock at the fairgrounds in Santa Rosa, right?
Yes.
Okay, you guys, don't let me be in the dark here. Y'all keep me posted on what's going on. You're busy.
I'll try to do that. Thanks so much for airing this for us.
You got it. Patty Burke, President, Gulf Coast Patriots, spending some time with us this afternoon on News Radio 92.3.
This is your CBS Sports Minute.
Sports Minute. A big week for UFC. I'm a big MMA fan. I love Ultimate Fighting Championships. They get a deal done with Paramount for over $1 billion a year. Why is this good for us, the consumer? No more $70 pay-per-views, events that are going to be on national television free to everyone, and I think a company that is ready to educate the rest of the world on mixed martial arts. I'm Gresh.
If Old Spice Deep Sea Super Hydration Body Wash were music, what would it sound like? Start with the deep sounds of Old Spice's ocean waves and kelp. Layer on the smooth, renewing moisture. You wouldn't hear any parabens or phthalates because Old Spice Deep Sea hasn't got any. But you would hear that vitamin B3 for healthier-looking skin. So while your regular body wash sounds like this, Old Spice sounds like this. Sounds like it smells amazing.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project, we never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Learn more about what we do at woundedwarriorproject.org.
Here's today's health news.
Well, a recall is underway for bottles used with a popular home carbonation system. Very interesting. Tanya J. Powers has the story.
DrinkMate is recalling more than 100,000 of its 1-liter carbonation bottles in the U.S. and Canada after reports that they can explode during use. The Consumer Product Safety Commission says the recall covers the bottles that were sold individually or as part of the sparkling water maker's OmniFizz starter kits. The recalled bottles are clear, with caps and bases in red, blue, white, and black plastic, and have 2026 expiration dates. DrinkMate has received 8 reports in the U.S. of bottles shattering during use, some causing lacerations, impact injuries, and hearing damage. They were sold online by Amazon, Walmart, Target, and Home Depot between April 2023 and last October. Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
Okay, years after the end of the COVID-19 pandemic, there seems to be a push in California for state employees to work remotely most of the time. Tom Rigetti is in.
Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom ordered state workers back to the office 2 days a week last year. Newsom then signed a new executive order this year that increased that number to 4 days, but he relented in a series of contracts his administration signed with public employee unions. Now, a report from the state auditor's office concludes Newsom arbitrarily ordered workers back to the office without using specific rationale, such as data on worker productivity. The report also says California could save its taxpayers up to $225 million annually by sticking with a hybrid schedule in which employees only have to report to the office 2 days a week. Tom Rigotti, Fox News.
545 News Radio 92.3, Austin Price, looking at that traffic and weather together.
I sure am. Luckily, not too much going on here. It's been a very smooth sailing day on the roads. Please keep it that way for your sake and mine. Let's see. We got some backups on I-10 traveling westbound passing the I-110 north ramp, but it's not very bad at all, and that's our worst-looking spot right now. As for your local weather, 92 degrees, low of 77 tonight. Got a heat advisory in effect until 7. As for your weekend, high sitting at around 93, 94 degrees for both days. There are rainfall chances, but they're not too severe.
Okay, Aaron is now the first hurricane of the 2025 Atlantic hurricane season. National Hurricane Center Deputy Director Jamie Rome says long-term, Aaron is heading west with an eventual northerly track.
So it's looking increasingly likely that the storm will stay offshore. So some of you might think, oh, you know, sort of the risk is going down. And for the traditional hazards, that is in fact true.
Here's today's business news.
Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent calling on European allies to impose tariffs on Russian oil. Edward Lawrence has more from the White House.
The Treasury Secretary, ahead of this summit, is talking to his counterparts in Europe about stepping up and also buying energy from the United States, not Russia, which they're still doing.
I want to say that it is time for European counterparts to put up or shut up.
All of this meant to put economic pressure on Russia to make a deal, President Trump saying that there will be severe consequences if Russia does not engage seriously about ending the invasion. He's targeting the money fueling the war. India getting an additional tariff up to 50% on September 17th for buying Russian oil. China, the largest consumer of Russian oil, also in the crosshairs to get secondary sanctions, possibly over oil purchases.
I'm Chad Robison with Your Money Now. Washington, D.C.'s Attorney General has filed a lawsuit challenging President Donald Trump's unprecedented takeover of the capital city's police force. AG Brian Schwab calling the act brazenly unlawful. Shares of Applied Materials were up slightly in after-hours trading after dropping upwards of 14% today after the semiconductor equipment maker issued soft guidance as it faces demand pressures in China. The company now projecting $6.7 billion in revenue instead of the $7.34 billion that LSEG had estimated. On Wall Street, stocks were mixed on the back of the latest University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index that showed a 3-point slide to 58.6 in August, the Dow gaining 34 points, the S&P off by 18, and the NASDAQ tumbled close to 90. Crude oil futures sit above $63 a barrel for September. That's Your Money Now.
Today, the News Radio 92.3 Cat Country 98.7 Children's Radiothon is happening at the Ascension Sacred Heart Hospital. Kevin King, News Radio's very own, is there this afternoon. I'm going to steal a line from Hulk Hogan. Okay, brother. What you got for us, Kevin?
Hey, thanks, guys. It's the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon, our sister station. And we're getting ready to wrap it up at 6 o'clock. But I've got Stephen Clark with me right now, with Hanto and Clark. And you guys have been a part of this for how many years?
It's been 3 years now. This is our second year as presenting sponsor.
Second year as presenting.
Yep.
And that's a big commitment. We really do appreciate that. How did you come to be a presenting sponsor?
So we, all of us have been touched by this hospital in some way or another. I've had two children in the NICU, my wife and I have.
Oh, wow.
And so the opportunity came up. We knew they were looking for sponsors. And we started the first year and just had never come to the event. And when we came to the event, just as a simple sponsor, we said, we've got to get more involved in this. So when the opportunity came to be a presenting sponsor, it was a no-brainer for us.
So behind the scenes, what do your employees do? What do you do to help to support this?
So a lot of our team today, we've been here answering phones, whatever they need marketing front. We have brought, we actually did a Local Pulse Live event earlier, and we had a bunch of subcontractors show up that work with us and gave money, so we were able to raise, I think, close to $13,000 just for them through that. So we try and show up the best we can, and whatever we can do to help, that's what we're here for.
Stephen, we appreciate what your company, what you do for the community. You're great neighbors, and thank you so much for being a part of this.
Thank you, Kevin. We could not do it without you guys doing this, putting this on air, and helping us.
It's a big effort.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. We do appreciate you.
Yep.
We've got just a few minutes left for the Radiothon. Remember, 850-416-KIDS. Please call and help the Studer family, Children's Hospital. It's Kevin, News Radio 92.3.
Okay, Kevin. And again, that number to donate, very easy to remember, 850-416-KIDS.
All righty. And just to get you one or two more business headlines here very, very quickly, let's see. We got Priscilla Presley's former business partners claiming she used the death of her daughter, Lisa Marie, to gain control of her trust in Graceland. In their suit, Bridget Cruz and Kevin Fialco claimed they worked to help Priscilla to leverage her name for profits, but that she suddenly cut ties with them. They allege fraud and breach of contract and are seeking more than $50 million.
Okay, the long-awaited payouts from a massive Facebook settlement finally being distributed. Madison Allworth has a story.
This is the long-awaited payouts from the record-breaking $725 million Facebook settlement. To remind you, this whole saga started a few years ago when Facebook parent company Meta agreed to pay this sum to settle claims that allowed people's personal data to be shared with third parties. The most famous third party to get access was Cambridge Analytica. That was a consulting firm that supported Donald Trump's 2016 presidential campaign. So now they're paying up and paying out. But again, it's going to depend on how many people actually have legitimate claims, because some of those 28 millions are probably people doubling up or false claims.
All righty, 552 here. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to Pensacola Right Now. We'll be back in just a couple minutes with some pop culture notes, some more frivolous headlines for you to help ease you into the end of this 5 o'clock hour on this Friday evening edition of News Radio 92.3.
Join WSRE-TV's free open house tomorrow, 10 till 2, at the WSRE studios on the Pensacola State College campus. They're at the corner of College Boulevard and 12th Avenue. Bring the family for behind-the-scenes tours, fun PBS kids activities, and meet Clifford the Big Red Dog. That's tomorrow from 10 till 2. You'll get to explore their studios, discover how programs are made, and learn about WSRE's educational services and about their mission to serve the greater Pensacola community. Plus, take part in the I Love WSRE campaign. There's plenty of free parking near the Gene and Paul Amos studio. WSRE-TV is at the corner of College Boulevard and 12th Avenue. Join WSRE-TV's free open house. Don't miss this special day at WSRE-TV. That's tomorrow from 10 till 2.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
It is 5:55, News Radio 92.3. Breaking news. We are going to take you to Alaska this afternoon, where President Trump and President Putin are holding a joint press conference this afternoon. You're listening to News Radio 92.3.
And alive. И по-соседски это очень звучит, по-моему, по-доброму.
And I think that's some
нас разделяет только Берингов пролив, да и то, там два острова между
Bering, российским only и американским островом всего 4 километра. Мы близкие соседи.
Важно также, что с Аляской связана значительная часть общей истории.
Но многие позитивные события имеют в виду эту территорию. Но есть тремендное культурное наследство из России. In America, for example, Orthodox churches and a lot of more than 700 geographical names of Russian origin. During the Second World War, it was here in Alaska that was the origin of the legendary air bridge for the supply of military aircraft and other equipment under the Lend-Lease program. It was a dangerous and treacherous route over the vast emptiness of ice. However, the pilots of both countries did everything to bring closer the victory. They risked their lives and they gave it all for the common victory. I was just in the city of Magadan in Russia, and there is a memorial there dedicated to the Russian and the U.S. pilots. And there are two flags, the U.S. flag and the Russian flag. And I know that here as well, there is such a memorial. There is a military burial place several kilometers away from here. The Soviet pilots are buried there who died during that dangerous mission. We're thankful to the citizens and the government of the U.S. for carefully taking care of their memory. I think that's very worthy and noble. We'll always remember other historical examples when our countries defeated common enemies together in the spirit of battle camaraderie and allyship that supported each other and facilitated each other. I'm sure that this heritage will help us rebuild and foster mutually beneficial and equal ties at this new stage, even during the hardest conditions. It is known that there have been no summits between Russia and the U.S. for 4 years, and that's a long time. This time was very hard for bilateral relations, and let's be frank, they've fallen to the lowest point since the Cold War. I think that's not benefiting our countries and the world as a whole. It is apparent that sooner or later, we had to amend the situation to move on from the confrontation to dialogue. And in this case, a personal meeting between the heads of state has been long overdue. Naturally, under the condition of serious and painstaking work, and this work has been done in general. Me and President Trump have very good direct contact. We've spoken multiple times. We spoke frankly on the phone. And special envoy of the president, Mr. Witkoff, traveled out to Russia several times. Our advisors and heads of foreign ministries kept in touch all the time. And you know fully well that one of the central issues was the situation around Ukraine. We see the strive of the administration and President Trump personally to help facilitate the resolution of the Ukrainian conflict. And his strive to get to the crux of the matter, to understand this history, is precious. As I've said, the situation in Ukraine has to do with fundamental threats to our security. Moreover, we've always considered the Ukrainian nation, and I've said it multiple times, a brotherly nation, however strange it may sound in these conditions. We have the same roots, and everything that's happening is a tragedy for us and terrible wound. Therefore, the country is sincerely interested in putting an end to it. At the same time, we're convinced that in order to make the settlement lasting and long-term, we need to eliminate all the primary roots, the primary causes of that conflict.
You're listening to Russian President Vladimir Putin and President Trump. We are covering the joint press conference being held in Anchorage, Alaska today. You're listening to WNRP Gulf Breeze, Pensacola.
Ukraine should be insured as well. Naturally, we are prepared to work on that. I would like to hope that the agreement that we've reached together will help us bring closer that goal and will pave the path towards peace in Ukraine. We expect that Kiev and European capitals will perceive that constructively and that they won't throw a wrench in the works. They will not make any attempts to use some backroom dealings to conduct provocations to torpedo the nascent progress. Incidentally, when the new administration came to power, bilateral trade started to grow. It's still very symbolic. Still, we have a growth of 20%. As I've said, we have a lot of dimensions for joint work. It is clear that the U.S. and Russian investment and business cooperation has tremendous potential. Russia and the U.S. can offer each other so much in trade, digital, high-tech, and in space exploration. We see that Arctic cooperation is also very possible. and our international context, for example, between the far east of Russia and the west coast of the U.S. Overall, it's very important for our countries to turn the page, to go back to cooperation. It is symbolic that not far away from here, the border between Russia and the U.S., there was a so-called international dateline. I think you can step over, literally, from yesterday into tomorrow. And I hope that we'll succeed in that, in political sphere. I would like to thank President Trump for our joint work, for the well-wishing and trustworthy tone of our conversation. It's important that both sides are result-oriented, and we see that the President of the U.S. has a very clear idea of what he would like to achieve. He sincerely cares about prosperity of his nation. Still, he understands that Russia has its own national interests. I expect that today's agreements will be the starting point, not only for the solution of the Ukrainian issue, but also will help us bring back business-like and pragmatic relations between Russia and the U.S. And in the end, I would like to add one more thing. I'd like to remind you that in 2022, during the last contact with the previous administration, I tried to convince my previous American colleague the situation should not be brought to the point of no return when it would come to hostilities. And I said it quite directly back then, that it's a big mistake. Today, when President Trump saying that if he was the president back then, there will be no war. And I'm quite sure that it would indeed be so. I can confirm that. I think that overall, me and President Trump have built a very good business-like and trustworthy contact. And I have every reason to believe that moving down this path, we can come, and the sooner the better, to the end of the conflict in Ukraine. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. President. That was very profound, and I will say that I believe we had a very productive meeting. There were many, many points that we agreed on, most of them, I would say, a couple of big ones that we haven't quite gotten there, but we've made some headway. So there's no deal until there's a deal. I will call up NATO in a little while. I will call up the various people that I think are appropriate, and I'll, of course, call up President Zelensky and tell him about today's meeting. It's ultimately up to them. They're going to have to agree with what Marco and Steve and some of the great people from the Trump administration who've come here, Scott and John Ratcliffe, thank you very much. But we have some of our really great leaders. They've been doing a phenomenal job. We also have some tremendous Russian business representatives here. And I think, you know, everybody wants to deal with us. We've become the hottest country anywhere in the world in a very short period of time. And we look forward to that. We look forward to dealing. We're going to try and get this over with. We really made some great progress today. I've always had a fantastic relationship with President Putin, with Vladimir. We had many tough meetings, good meetings. We were interfered with by the Russia hoax that made it a little bit tougher to deal with, but he understood it. I think he's probably seen things like that during the course of his career. He's seen it all, but we had to put up with the Russia hoax. He knew it was a hoax, and I knew it was a hoax, but what was done was very criminal. But it made it harder for us to deal as a country in terms of the business and all of the things that we'd like to have dealt with. But we'll have a good chance when this is over. So just to put it very quickly, I'm going to start making a few phone calls and tell them what happened. But we had an extremely productive meeting, and many points were agreed to. There are just a very few that are left. Some are not that significant. One is probably the most significant. But we have a very good chance of getting there. We didn't get there, but we have a very good chance of getting there. I would like to thank President Putin and his entire team, whose faces, who I know in many cases, otherwise, other than that, whose faces I get to see all the time in the newspapers. You're almost as famous as the boss, but especially this one right over here. But we had some good meetings over the years, right? Good productive meetings over the years. And we hope to have that in the future. But let's do the most productive one right now. We're going to stop really 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, thousands of people a week from being killed. And President Putin wants to see that as much as I do. So, again, Mr. President, I'd like to thank you very much. And we'll speak to you very soon and probably see you again very soon. Thank you very much, Vladimir.
Next time in Moscow.
Oh, that's an interesting one. I don't know. I'll get a little heat on that one, but I could see it possibly happening. Thank you very much, Vladimir. Thank you. And thank you all. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to President Donald Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin, who say they've come to a, I guess, an understanding on a very productive meeting today. Nothing was really solidified during this meeting, but they have encouraged the movement of these meetings to now, as a matter of fact, President Putin has just invited President Trump to Moscow to do the next meeting. So you've been listening to President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin on News Radio 92.3.